Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Wrap Up. Today, we are here to talk about Season 2, Episode 8. I am here with the amazing, the incredible, the utterly fabulous baby gorgeous himself, Jacob Jones.
Baby gorgeous. Hi, not Jacob. Baby gorgeous. Not baby gorgeous.
Oh my God.
Gorgeous.
I didn't even introduce myself. I'm Maggie Morgan, really, by the way, if you didn't gather. I got too excited to introduce you, baby gorgeous.
Not baby gorgeous. Can we go get Wendy's mom?
Anytime, honey. Do you want to go somewhere else too?
Yes.
What do you think?
Starbucks and get cake pops. I can't do that. I can't do the Lisa. I sound like the Terminator. I sound like the Terminator if I try to do the Lisa. I can't do the Lisa.
Oh my gosh. Your Lisa sounds like she's from Minnesota.
No, it's literally a Terminator. I can't do the Lisa. Hell, you got
I want to start to do, I want to do a Meredith because Meredith has like a very distinct way of speaking, but I've never tried to do it on my own before getting on this podcast. So I'm going to chill on that before.
Okay, well, like, no, give it a try right now.
I'm scared. I feel like my impressions are, I just feel like
give it
when
a
that
try.
Guy,
you can do it.
When that guy came to speak to me about Mary,
okay, it does me some
I
work.
Was just a little disturbed. But she talks out of the side of her mouth. I'll get it much better for you guys next time. How dare you embarrass me like this, Jacob, on my own podcast?
I know, right? I'm dying. No, that definitely needed some tweaking. But no, I believe in you and I have faith in your abilities. But you want to know something? I don't know if you can say this in the Lisa Barlow, because I feel like this would be something that she would say. Can you remind the folks to leave a review for us, Maggie?
Oh my gosh. Okay, everybody. I just want to say, if you are loving the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe in the Apple feed. Okay, but for real, please leave us some nice comments. We'll read them here on the podcast.
And we'll send you a bottle of Vita.
Vita? I think it's Vita with
Vita.
The D.
It's Vita.
Yes. I'm not sure about that because they look very expensive to ship. I tried to look online after pod last week and it was like, you know, $50 a bottle plus $120 of shipping. So unsure of that, but we will definitely shout you out on the pod.
Mind.
Please rate us some reviews. We would love to hear from you.
We would.
Because this week, Jacob, I liked this episode.
Baby gorgeous. I will tell you, baby Jesus.
That's right too.
And I know it honestly picked up for me, but I can like it. But then when I like last week, I was standing someone. This week, I'm like, what the F to that person? But this was a really good episode. I feel like, well, honestly, you want to know a reason why I think it was a really good episode that I don't think you probably thought about, or you probably did. Because we didn't have to suffer.
I have a theory too.
The storyline of Jenny and her husband. And I was very happy because she was barely on this episode and it brought a smile.
Jenny wasn't in the episode at all.
Not barely.
She wasn't in it at all.
She didn't get paid. Because they get paid per episode. Like if they're in the episode, they get like however much their salary is for the season. But they also get paid of how many episodes they're in. So she didn't get a check for this one.
Oh, dang. Sorry, Jenny. I thought the reason that I loved this episode was because this was not anything that we've seen in the trailers. Like there was a lot of storylines happening here that even on like last week and then when they were like next time on, like there was a lot here that was like sort of missing from the trailers, because I can find with some of these reality shows where it's like, just people living their lives, like shows like this, shows like 90 Day Fiance, shows like the Kardashians. I feel like you sort of see it all in the promos, you know, like, so I really loved that there was a lot going on in this episode that I was like really surprised by. A lot of stuff that I was not expecting to see, like not expecting to hear. And it looks like next week we're getting the beginnings of Jen's arrest. Beginning.
And I feel like it's mm-hmm. going to be like the last 15 seconds where she gets the completely phone call, and then to be continued. And I will say my comment that I have to say, you probably heard about it too, but I'm going to save it for after we, when we get to tea time, but I am very mm-hmm. excited about next week episode. But yeah, this week definitely picked up steam and mm-hmm. people were engaged. People were getting information. And Lisa Barlow, I'm off your stand ship for now.
You
I
know
may
what?
Come back. I may come back, but for now,
sorry,
baby girl.
Okay, we're gonna fight about this because I still feel like Lisa is giving what needs to be given. Like I really
giving.
Do. I feel like if we're looking at this show, the only person on this show that I would want to be real life friends with is Heather. And
I can do without.
Like I just feel like if I'm watching this show to watch the show, I want someone like Lisa Barlow on my screen. You know.
So, yes, I completely agree. But I think there's a difference between who I like and who I stand versus who is great for
sure.
The show.
So what does that mean? Like who you stand?
So who I stand, honestly, I don't really, my stand card isn't that high with, I guess, Mary and somewhat Meredith, but it's still not that flagship in the sand where it's not moving. Like people who I stand, people who I really like, who I feel mm-hmm. like bring just like so much value to the show and what I see as a entertaining, funny, shady, like in the face type of aspect. Lisa brings a ton to the show, just not a ton that I'm like, yo, I like her. I F with her. It's kind of a way I see what you bring and I see your value on the show. I just don't mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I feel,
do I stand her? No, but do I think she needs to continue on the show? Do I think she's a staple on the show? Do I think she's going to push a storyline out the ass? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like at this rate, Lisa's securing her spot right next to Andy Cohen at the reunion.
Oh, I definitely. Well, it, child, honestly, well, I think she's going to be on the side of Jen because Jen's definitely going to have that front seat. But I don't see Lisa being on another couch that's not with Jen because typically, like, mm-hmm. it would be because it's like two starting people of the season, but. Like mm-hmm. Whitney and Heather really don't F with Lisa like that. And so they have, and then Mary really don't F with a lot of people like that. And so I don't see them putting Lisa on that one side where none of her allies are. So mm-hmm. I think they have to put her with her ally in that second seat with Jen in front. But, you know, it could happen.
And
could
we forward. Don't know. And this is like such fast forward speculation.
Yeah.
But like, it looks as though Lisa's not going to be continuing to support Jen throughout the season. Like they're like a lot of the previews showed her like not answering Jen's calls and stuff. So who knows where they'll be at by the time the season ends?
Who knows?
But, okay. Should we timestamp this for it?
If Maggie's correct and Jen and Lisa does get that first seat, I would be very excited to see that
would be fun.
Fortune teller. Yes. Let's get into this episode. I'm excited.
Okay. I really loved this one. And it starts with good old Jen and Stuart, her good old Jen and her assistant Stuart. They're talking. She's feeding him a banana and she says, I feed you while you sit there and make money for me.
Anytime that they're together, I have to stop, freeze, analyze. I wanted to see what was on the computer that they were.
Yes.
I wanted to see every, like, I wanted to zoom in, lens. Let me see those charts. Let me see the bank accounts. Let me see X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the producers are literally, like, having a field day feeding bananas, co-conspirators, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Allegedly. And I'm just like, Jen is there smiling. Make me money, honey. No, Jen. Shaw, no.
It's wild. Like, you know, this is what I always say whenever they find this footage, they're popping a bottle of champagne. Like, this is so gold, especially given what we're about to, see coming up. Like, I just think that it's really, really exciting.
Like, but I'm just like, I wonder what Jen was out. I was about to say, I wonder what she was like thinking when she saw that clip, but I think she was at a Halloween party, what I saw. People were like dancing with her at Halloween. I was like, Jen, shouldn't you be before anything happens, you know,
trying to get your moment in the sun, your last little moment in the sun? Well, she doesn't look awesome in this episode either.
I think she looks awesome.
I think Jen
looks good tonight. I think she looked good on tonight's episode. TBH, And even when I see her, like,
we'll talk about it.
I'm like, oh, okay, Jen Shaw, like, give it to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't mean like she looks good, like in like her appearance. Okay, I think she looked beautiful tonight.
Okay, okay.
I agree, she looked beautiful, but I think that she looked a mess when we'll get there. But like, I think that she was sort of back to the old Jen.
With that one, I feel like I know what scene you're talking about, and I kind of disagree with you. To a certain extent, but I also agree with you. Okay, but yes. Yeah, okay, yes.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah, okay, up next, Meredith is just talking to her son, Brooks, about smoothies, and Meredith says she doesn't drink her food, which I hear you, Meredith. I don't drink my food either. I think that's disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
I'm not a smoothie girl.
It's a normal thing, which really is very weird. When Meredith said that, I was like, for me, Meredith gives me very smoothie, very, like, put in a straw and let me sip type of girl. She doesn't give I need a fork and knife to break down everything. And like, I don't know. She just doesn't give
Would you picture me as a smoothie girl?
Look at me. Yeah, I would.
I'm not. I think that the little bits of food is really, really gross. I hate the little bits of food and the little bits of ice in my mouth. I don't like it at all. It's a texture thing for me.
Like boba?
We are different people.
You like boba?
Well, boba is different because it feels like I'm eating like gushers or something. But no, I wouldn't pick boba. But also the sweetness of a smoothie, I know you can do like a green smoothie with kale and stuff, but I like too much sweet. I can't do I really like bitter tasting things. So that's also probably part of it with the smoothie. But the main thing is the texture thing. I don't.
Okay.
Like.
So when I move to New York, can I make you an egg Benedict smoothie?
What is that?
Everything that you put on an egg Benedict and you put it in a smoothie thing and smoothie it up and then you drink
it. No, that sounds disgusting, Jacob. I think it's a really Texas thing. What? That's real? Okay, everybody tweet us. Have you ever heard of an egg Benedict smoothie?
And you sometimes can put syrup in if you want like that gloss of sweetness to it as well. But
what? So then you put ham in a smoothie?
Yes.
No. Okay, like we're moving on, but I
was very thrown off that she wasn't a smoothie girl. I feel like Brooks is I just feel like they're very like, give me a straw, give me a metal straw and let me sip. You know what I mean? Like
a metal straw. Yes, exactly. Yes, I know what you mean. Jenny, I was wrong. You were right. Jenny was in one moment of this episode and the star was her daughter.
Lord, she was in one moment. Thank the Lord.
But the star was her daughter, who was so cute doing a little science experiment, who then said she farted, and then they left the room and giggled.
How many times are they going to be doing these science experiments and them, like, I don't know. I'm just so turned off by Jenny. I could care less, honestly. She's not coming back for season three. She's not coming back for season three.
I highly, highly doubt. I will be shocked if she comes back.
Oh, very much so. Or she may come back as a friend. Or if they throw like, hey, you getting paid $10 a season, you can still be a housewife, but we're lowering your pay. I think she'll still take it. Because I think, you know, in certain ways, housewife, they can have the, like, even with rich people, they can have the money, but they also want the fame as well. And so she's doing well for herself or her husband and her kids. They're doing well. You know, a rich family, a wealthy family. But, you know, when you have that wealth, it doesn't always equate to fame. And I feel like Jenny, just like seeing her on the show and watching her in interviews and seeing her on social media, I feel like she wants that fame as well as the richness of it as well, which all these housewives do. That's what they're on. If they didn't, they wouldn't be on TV.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but yeah, Jenny, not for me, baby girl. I'm sorry.
So the next thing here is the real first episode of, you know, the first like scene of the season. And what we get here is Lisa and her family are arriving to this photo shoot. And this is where the infamous cover photo on Lisa's Twitter comes from of both of her boys holding their hair product. And Henry, so her sons, Henry and Jack. Jack is the older one.
I did not know her Twitter photo was that. Let me go look at it real quick.
Oh my God. It's hilarious. It's a photo of them holding the hair product that they use. What is the hair product called? Like Wolf something? I wrote it down. Hold on.
Is it
Fresh Wolf?
Fresh Wolf.
Yes. So Her son, Henry, the young one, baby gorgeous himself, is in a Gucci hat, iconically, obviously, okay, as only Lisa Barlow's son would be. But her older son, stop what you're doing and go to Lisa Barlow's Twitter account, because I have been laughing at that photo, Jacob.
Oh my goodness.
That is the header of her Twitter for months.
Like, when I saw them in, I thought it was like, I started laughing when I saw them take the photo because it was very like lackluster, not giving that much.
Yeah, it's just like, what's happening?
Literally.
Yeah.
So when I saw it on the episode, I was like, oh my gosh, like Lisa, come on. But I did not know she had this as her Twitter. Well, I'm never really on Lisa's Twitter anyways, but I did not know she had this on her freaking Twitter. That's hysterical.
So cute. But so the older son, Jack, is really, honestly, Jacob, I was very impressed by him this episode. He seems super well-spoken for his
very
age.
Mature. Yeah.
And very mature. You know, they're talking about, they're doing this photo shoot because they're going to organize a charity event that is for foster care in Utah.
That we see play out later on tonight.
Yeah, it's to benefit Utah foster care, because it's revealed that John, Lisa's husband, and their father was adopted at a young age and was actually in foster care for a whole year. So it's something that is like very near and dear to their heart. And seriously, her son, who, I mean, what, he's like 15?
I thought he was like 13, 15, one of those.
Yeah, like he's super, super well-spoken, and they're going to have about 30 people at the event because this was filmed still during COVID, like pre-vaccine, also like to remember.
Did you say that just so when we get to that point where we dive more into like the invites of this party, you can bring that up? Okay, I'm not letting you get away with that one. I am not letting you get away with that one. But no, well, I mean, 30...
I think I'll shock you based off of how I feel about it. But also, we do have to remember it's height of COVID pre-vaccine.
It is. It's very much that. Is there a thing where... Because this just came into my mind. Because me and you are both vaxxed. I don't... It's like... Because I know like some people, like, you know, some religions, they say like, oh, we don't want to get vaxxed. Is that something in like the Mormon culture? Do you know if anti-vax is like something I was just wondering.
I don't think so. I can text my friend literally like live, who's ex-Mormon, and figure it out.
I wonder what their like stance on, just because I don't know, I just like to know like how, you know, religious leaders are kind
well
of like,
I mean, Heather runs a Botox facility in Utah.
Yeah.
So it's they're injecting things into, you know what I mean? Like they're getting injections, but I will text him and ask.
Yeah. I'm just very curious about that. But this is also kind of a side of Lisa that I like seeing Lisa with her family. Just because you get a much more sweeter, you can't really twist that how people like to paint Lisa out to be like this evil person, how they keep questioning her intentions. When she's with her family, she's very sweet. She's very motherly. She's very loving.
Yes.
I like to see her in that light. I mean, Lisa gives us a lot of extra entertainment, blah, 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 boom. But just seeing her with her kids, with her family.
And she clearly adores them. Like she clearly adores her sons and her husband.
And so like even hearing John's like his past with fostering and things like that, it was just very... like just a very tender moment for this episode before we got into the debaucheriness of, you know, the event and what came out of it and who came up in it. So there was a very cute scene. Lisa Barlow, I liked you in that moment.
So Jacob just got a live text from my friend who is an ex-Mormon, who says that LDS, he doesn't think that LDS takes a stance on vaccines. They rarely take public stances on anything political unless it's like gay marriage.
I can imagine what their stance is on that. What's their stance on that? Do you know? I can imagine.
Yeah, not allowed.
Okay.
Not allowed. Gotcha. But you would think because like, you know, part of their culture, I know, or part of their faith, their religion is to keep the body pure, which is why no caffeine, no piercings, no tattoos,
no sex.
But like, you know, facial injections and vaccines, I suppose, are okay. So take that for what you will, everybody. I don't really know. Anyways, moving on. So the next scene that we get is Mary. She's arriving at lunch with Heather and Whitney.
And
she, Mary just is everything. Like every time she's on the screen, I just want the whole show to be about Mary. Like I would literally watch this every week if it was only about Mary.
She's the most intriguing housewife that I've ever seen. Intriguing in any franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say she's an intriguing woman. Her story is very intriguing. The way mm-hmm. she walked into a room, her fashion is intriguing. The green mm-hmm. PP carpet is very intriguing. Her marriage is intriguing. Mm-hmm. Her relationship with her son is intriguing. Mm-hmm. Everything. Her church, when she, season one, we saw much more of her in the church and like preaching and doing things like that. And it was all very intriguing. So Mary is the most intriguing housewife I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, she's just perfect television. And so she gets in and you know, she says to the French man, like who's seating her, she's like, this is bonjour. Is it bonjour that you say to? Okay. Yes. Yes. Great. And then when they bring out ceviche, cause they're going to have ceviche, which is raw fish. She's like, I don't eat raw fish. I don't do that. And she says in her confessional that she just feels like it's going to come back to life in her stomach.
This is also iconic. The same woman that said that carbonation freezes eggs.
No, she said that seltzer water shrivels your ovaries.
Mm-hmm. I think she said freezes. Yes.
Shrivels. No, shrivels.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go Google it, Mary, so you don't have to worry about me.
Yeah, no, nobody's Googled it, but they bring that up. They bring up her relationship with Lisa and it, you know, it's Whitney and Heather. So they're sort of like
Whitney and Heather, being like bad weather, spin the truth.
So she, you know, they are being super shady to Lisa and being like, don't you see now? Wow. And I actually feel like Mary really handled this super well. Well, first off, she opens up and she starts talking about why she was triggered by Lisa questioning her, because she said that her mom questioned her judgment when she married Robert Sr. and said that she got, you know, completely cut off from her mom. So people question her judgment. It really triggers her and brings her back to that, which was just so heartbreaking.
Yeah, Heather brought it up. It was Heather and Lisa there, but Heather brought it up and it mm-hmm. was, I mean, to be quite frank, Heather was being messy. She was like, yo, like how, like, where are y'all standing?
Mm-hmm.
It was
totally. Heather,
like mm-hmm. less kind of like, less in a sense, let's shit on Lisa for a bit. Hopefully you're still pissed.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And even Whitney was like, well, she kind of started with you in certain ways. And then, Mary interjects, she's like, no, I started with her. Like I got frustrated with her first. And
completely.
I love that ownership mm-hmm. that Mary gave. And you could just see Mary was on a different time. Like she was not kind of with like, okay, let's like dismiss her.
Totally.
Let's push her down. It was like, you know what? I'm going to own up. I like reflect it. And I see like, I kind of did start that. And this is where it stems mm-hmm. from. Once they ask, hey, what triggered that aspect? Because even mm-hmm. in Whitney's confessional, she was saying, Lisa always does these things to trigger people. And she told me something and about mm-hmm. my outfit. Like, hey, let's help her out with that. With that wasn't a trigger. That was just very blatant shade. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, well, she does all these things. And Mary was just like, well, this is what I'm dealing with that triggered me. And mm-hmm. her opening up about how her mom didn't, basically her mom and her haven't talked in 20 something years because her mom wanted what Mary has, essentially. Like her mom wanted to be the one to marry. I don't know if that, like, to marry Robert Sr. to have the church.
She never. Okay, she never said that. I think
she did. She said so. Like her mom wanted to. Like, oh, they didn't trust that the word, like that Mary, the vision or the words that Mary got from the Lord. Her mom.
I have
didn't
a
think
theory,
that was
Jacob.
True. Her mom didn't think that that was true. And her mom kind of wanted what Mary has. And so she did say that. So she did say her mom wanted
She did say that. So I have a theory and it sort of goes along with all of my theories about Mary. And, you know, I don't want to question Mary. You know, I don't want to put words in her mouth or speculate on things I don't know. But Mary said that her mom wanted the church. She thought it should belong to her. Not that she thought she should have married Robert Sr. And my my interpretation of this, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. If you have a different interpretation, please feel free to tweet me, talk to me online. My interpretation of this is that if Mary did not marry Robert Sr., that the church and everything would have gone to her mother. That it would not have gone to Robert Sr., that it all would have gone to her mother. And because Robert Sr. married someone in the family, it was passed down to her. And so that makes me wonder if maybe Mary's mom's beef is more with Robert Sr. than it is with Mary.
I disagree. Okay. Even though Mary like didn't blatantly say, hey, she wanted to marry Robert Sr., I don't think like, oh, let me marry Robert Sr. I don't think that was on the forefront of anyone's mind when they first, you know, thought about this. But I think based off of what Mary said, I'm implying that basically she like what came with, you know, the church was marrying Robert Sr. and also the money that came with that as well. And the kind of the laptop
I see.
That they live
so
in.
Even if, but, if it was not Mary, it would have been her mom who was doing what Mary was doing.
I think so. But I also, I don't think that the church would have went to, Mary's mom, because I think a lot of times I heard when, Robert Sr. at last year's reunion, he was talking and he was saying like how, I think it's like Robert Sr. is like the lead over that church. And I think,
okay.
And so I think like he would have had it. And a lot of times with churches, they have this weird, this structure with women and their roles in the church. And they kind of tapped on it last reunion when Robert Sr. was like, well, I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I view Mary as my equal in the church.
I see. And so I yes. And that was very meaningful to her. I remember.
Yeah, it was very meaningful to her because in a lot of times in the church, a lot of like the older doctrines just have women not in a leadership role that Mary is in.
Yes.
But I ultimately think that the church is Robert Sr.'s. And so I think even if Mary didn't marry Robert Sr., he still would have had the church, and whoever came along with him would have been there as well. And so I think her beef is with Mary because of everything that Mary in her mind she took from her, you know, the mom. And so it was a very touching scene seeing Mary break down like that, because we typically don't really see the wall come down with Mary a lot of times. So this is like very like touching, and we definitely get a look into how. Just the behind the scenes of what can go through her mind and her history with like the family. And it complicates the family's, you know, conversation even more now, knowing that, you know, knowing this aspect with her mom. So it was very fascinating to see.
Absolutely. And then, you know, at the end, Whitney and Heather are like, well, do you think that you can forgive her? And Mary's like, yes, I have. I'm moved on from this. And they were both sort of like, okay. And then we got that confessional from Heather where she was like, Lisa looks at everything like a game. So if you cross her, Lisa will reveal herself. And I thought that that was way more just foreshadowing for the next scene. But
very
also like,
so.
I thought that like Mary, for Mary, like it's done, you know, like she's done with it. So, and she's shown that she is capable of that, like of just being done with it because she's like given Jen a second chance and like really seems to have truly squashed her beef with Jen. So yeah, I don't know.
They did have to have that conversation at that party just to get everything, you know, under the bridge and things like that.
Well, yeah, because Jen was still talking crap about her online.
After the reunion. I think this was foreshadowing, but I also think this, it could be done in Mary's mind, but who knows if Mary has communicated to Lisa, hey, like they have had a conversation saying like, hey, I'm good. And Lisa could still be like, oh, F Mary, because she tried to throw X, Y, and Z into the ring when it wasn't even about that. And so like, I don't know if Mary has communicated to Lisa saying like, hey, we're good, or X, Y, and Z, or next time they'll see each other, oh, we'll be good. But I think like Lisa is manipulative. I think she does play the game like chess. And I think it comes into play when we see the scene with Lisa at the charity event.
I mean, I think that we see it in this next scene we're about to talk about, which is we're back at the photo shoot and Jack's running everything. And Jen shows up in this wolf hat, you know, for Fresh Wolf that they're... Mm-hmm. You know, the name of their brand.
The name of the brand.
And so Jen shows up and they're talking, and Lisa asks Jen if she's okay with Heather, sort of as like a foray. And Jen's like, yeah, we're actually doing really great. Why? And Lisa's like, well, you know, I just worry about you because I think that you have a tendency to do this with unhealthy friends. And I wanted to know how you felt about bleep. And this person's name was redacted from the episode. This former employee of Jen's, who clearly did not sign off on their story being told on the show, including their name, was redacted. So all episode they're talking about them and they're, you know, blurring out and beeping out this person's name. But then they go into, like, all of the women sort of come on to talk confessional-wise about this leaked audio that happened.
They basically story-told the whole thing. It was amazing.
Do you want to tell it, Jacob?
No, you know, you go. You go. You got it. Yeah.
Okay. So, Jen, so essentially what happened was, and this was a huge news story at the time. Mm-hmm. So, Jen asked this person to make her address for an event. And by Jen's account, the person did not deliver in time. And by the person who was supposed to be making the dress, their account, Jen did not give her any specifications with any amount of time's notice. But there was audio leaking of Jen reaming this person out, cussing them out, you know, like basically they all take turns quoting the audio.
That was the funny part.
Yeah. Meredith is saying, you know, like, oh, I just remember her like saying like the F word. Like they are just all going through what the audio said. And Mary says, my favorite part was when the producers asked Mary, like, so what do you think happened? And Mary goes, oh, I think Jen got busted. nothing else to it. She just got busted. And Heather says, everybody in Utah has heard that audio. And I remember when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, this woman is a monster. Like this is why going into season two, I was like, I can't with Jen. Like she is, I mean, obviously that and then the alleged thievery, but like she seems just like so abusive in the workplace. It was wild. Have you heard the audio, Jacob?
So I didn't necessarily hear the audio when it came out. I did hear about the story, but I just never listened to it. But I just saw like the excerpts of kind of what the women were saying and like the TMZ articles and everything, every place that I saw it back when it happened. And so I think probably if I hear it, I'll probably have a different perspective on it. But when they were quoting it, and I went back after I saw the episode and I went back through the articles, just looked back through one. And I saw like the things that she was saying and the things that they have laid out for, you know, the points for what she said. I was like, yo, she was pissed off that the dress didn't come through. And I mean, it sounded like it's very pissed off, very mad. And it was like, okay, you can calm it down a little bit. But I didn't think this was like groundbreaking news. Like Jen Shaw cusses out an employee because the dress didn't turn, like the dress was like not how she
do you have the quotes, like the direct quotes?
No, I have to go back to the article.
I don't have them either. Okay, we can pull them up and find them. But I think that maybe the reason that you are like, oh gosh, well, it's like, it's nothing new. It's Jen Shaw employs these people. Like as somebody who works in somebody else's home, like as a personal sort of employee of someone, if anyone spoke to me that way, I would be leaving in a moment's notice. Like you cannot treat people, especially people who are working for you, like that, even if they don't deliver. Like then you can say, okay, thank you, your service is no longer welcome here. You don't cuss them out like in front of other people.
Okay, so I have some lingo from it. So this is part of it. She says, how many people do you need to make one effing dress? Will you effing shut the F up? She said that. And then, well, that's all they quote. Oh, they're quoting the episode. So I just looked it up. They're quoting the episode. So yes, she's a horrible boss, effed up person. I guess I was just like, okay, I think I was just like, okay, this is Jen Shaw and she's horrible. And yes. I think but I kind of laid it at that.
Sure. Like we can say that Jen Shaw is horrible on this show where like these women are behaving terribly, but like,
oh, no, I think
you are employing somebody. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's abusive and awful. And like, that's why you're saying, oh, well, it's not like groundbreaking stuff. But I think that it was at the time when this was leaked, this was pre-prison. Like, when this was leaked, everybody was like,
I'm dying.
No, but seriously, like, when this was leaked, everybody was like, wow, this woman is a menace. Like, it's just completely absurd. So Jen, her side of the story is she is in her confessional talking, and she says that the employee took her kindness and made it appear as though she had mistreated him and that she was completely set up by him. And she says that the reason that she was tricked by this man is because he was from Hawaii and she felt a kinship to him, because Jen is also Polynesian. And, so she just felt like she was made to look bad, but like, I'm sorry, how are you made to look bad when you're the one who's saying, how many people does it make to make an effing dress, screaming that at your employee?
I mean, it's no area for me. I'm just like still like looking at the words. It's no area for me to defend. I mean, and I'm sure this wasn't the first time she's spoken like this to her employee as well.
Oh,
the first time that she and outed it.
Yes, because he recorded it.
Yeah,
because he was smart enough to record it. Mm-hmm.
But he said he didn't leak
it. Lisa. Yeah, sure. Just like Lisa didn't do the caterers. So Lisa brings this guy up. So she brings this guy up and Jen freaks out basically and starts like screaming. So what I've noticed about Jen is when she is like, people call, like talk about things or situations that are unflattering for her and she gets emotional, she acts sort of like a caged animal. Like she starts to like look around as though she's like trying to find a way to escape and like starts throwing her hands in the air as though she's like banging on like the symbolic bars of whatever this person is talking about. And she like starts to get super, super upset. Like this reminded me of Coach Shaw's party from last season when she started to freak out at Whitney. Like that was the level of upset she was getting. And Lisa was like, the only reason that I'm bringing up this guy is because Whitney gave this person some of her products as a gift. I saw it on Instagram. And Jen is like, well, then why are you talking to her about it? Why are you bringing it up to me? And Lisa's like, because I want to know from you what you think about it. Like, I'm not blaming you for this. Like, cause I think Jen thought that Lisa was going to bring up the audio in an unflattering way and be like, why would you behave like this to this person?
I think that she did.
But that's not what Lisa said to Jen. She's bringing
I don't believe everything that comes out of Lisa's mouth, first off. So I'm not taking what she says really into account. I think she brought it up to be messy and to be like, and I said, like, why would you bring that up if it was that toxic for her when she experienced it? And why would you bring it up on camera? Like, how good of a friend are you to me? If this incident happened, you know what the public thought of me. And now you're going to bring it up on camera and I'm going to be like, I'm here to protect you. I want to know your thoughts. She like, Jen was
like, oh my God, Jacob,
Jacob,
I am such a Lisa Barlow apologist. It's so funny. I like totally believe that she was bringing it up to be messy about Whitney because she was like, Whitney is sending this guy product. This guy hurt you. What's going on here? Why are you all of a sudden friendly with Whitney if she's sending this enemy of yours product?
I think she was doing it to, because Jan didn't go on her team with the snow tubing thing, or she's pissed about something and she wants to be shady towards like Whitney. But like, it's very clear that you wanted to be shady towards Jen. Like, you saw how she got upset. And I feel like in that moment, not justifying what Jen said at all, she had a right to be upset. Like, you're bringing this up on camera. I had to deal with this in actual life where people were fucking like tweeting bomb, like I'm a horrible person, X, Y, and Z. I'm abusive, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And you know probably how that affected me because we were friends during those times. And you're going to bring it up on camera so I'm going to have to relive it. I'm going to be pissed at you. I'm going to throw my arms up. I'm going to yell. I'm going to get emotional because I don't want to talk about this specifically on camera and turn it into an entire storyline that kind of had the other women reading the quotes from the audio. If I was Jen Shaw, I would be livid as hell. if my friend, so-called brother's up, and Lisa is, this is why she's so manipulative, because she did that and then she tried to turn into, well, I'm trying to protect you. I want to know what you think about this situation. Like, well, Winnie, listen, you go and check that girl. If you, my friend, you need to defend me. It was just so annoying.
And that's what Jen was saying. Yeah.
She's trying to be like, oh, like, I'm like, I want to toss this. And then I'm
hoping you
see it for what it actually is. But no, Lisa, we see you for the true colors that you are. And that's very transparent. That's very inauthentic. That's very fraudulent. It makes perfect TV, but that's just that on that. So yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. This is like when we're perfect co-hosts, because we do land on opposite sides of the argument, but also I really do see what you mean. Like, I just never would have thought of it that way. Like, I thought the whole point of her bringing this up was to be like rude to Whitney and be like, don't you think Whitney's a terrible friend to you? Mm-hmm. But I see what you mean. Why Jen's like, don't even talk about this on camera. Like, I don't care if you're trying to jab at Whitney, jab at something embarrassing for Whitney. Don't jab at something embarrassing for me.
It was fun for the show, but like, you know what, like bringing this up, like everyone's going to, you know, it's a new article literally that was published last night talking specifically about the audio, not even recapping the episode, specifically about the audio and rehashing that, and talking about all the women saying the quotes. So Lisa knows what the hell she's doing, killing two birds with one stone. Let me drop this, take a little dig at you, and also take a little dig at the girl who I really don't like, Whitney. And hopefully you get pissed at her. But no, I'm pissed at you. I pissed at you, Lisa Barlow. Yeah. I'm mad at, I can't like that. When she immediately brought that up, that's where my mind went. I was like, oh, you piece of work, Lisa, you piece of work.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the next sequence we get, this is why this is a good episode, because it's like giving us a lot to talk about. So the next scene, this is actually like super, super sad. Whitney is rollerblading with her brother, Will, and they sit down and they start talking about Whitney's father. And a huge, like, one of Whitney's main storylines last season was that she was helping her father in his sobriety journey, and that she was, you know, helping to reconcile her family because her father was like really going through it and trying to become sober. And she was saying, like, her brother was saying that he sees and speaks with their father like once a month. And Whitney is devastated to hear this because she has not spoken to him in 6 months. And she tells this story about the last time she saw her father, where she had her father come over and babysit the kids for when her and Justin went on a date. And so she ordered food for the kids to come to the house. But I guess there was like an issue with the delivery driver, and her dad chased the food delivery driver with his motorcycle. And like, the kids were so scared and freaked out that like her daughter was like sobbing in her room. When they came home, she like realized that her father was probably under the influence of something, that he was not sober. And so her and Justin asked her father to leave the home.
Wasn't he staying with them? Like living with them?
At that point. He was not living with them. He was living in a sober living facility.
Okay, gotcha.
But they asked him to leave his home, and she has not heard from him since that day, which is so sad.
Yeah,
I like don't even have any commentary, Jacob.
And
take it away.
We've seen, I really don't either. And we've seen Whitney talk about her father, and I think it was like early episodes this season, just one time, and just how like they haven't spoken, but she didn't, you know, get into like this situation. Probably because this isn't a situation that you bring up with like just like your friends, you keep it in a family matter. So her going with her,
absolutely,
and like a much more safer place for her to bring it up in.
Absolutely. And you know, like, this is just like the situation she described is, I mean, everyone's worst nightmare. Like, you don't feel safe with your own parent around your children. Like, the safety of your children is the number one priority. And when that's threatened, of course, her and Justin are going to ask her father to leave, because when, you know, they realize that he put their children in an unsafe situation. And it's just like the most heartbreaking thing in the world, because Whitney says, you know, like, her brother and her father reconciled because of her. They were not on speaking terms. And Whitney is the one who supported him emotionally, financially, reconciled him with the rest of the family. And for him to just completely cut her off, it's just been really, really devastating for her.
It's such a sad, it's such a sad situation. Oh, I hate it. I hate it for her.
And I know. Really, really heartbreaking. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully things get better. Hopefully her dad, wishing them the best of luck with dealing with it, how they see fit.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, I'm really glad that she shared this little bit on the show, because I have been actually really thinking about this, because he was doing so well at the end of season one. And then at the reunion, she was like, I have not heard from him. Like, it's been really, really hard. So I have been thinking about him, you know, and I'm really glad that she chose to even share this much with us, because in terms of like this sort of stuff, it's very hard to be like, they owe us like to tell us what's going on here, because this is such a touchy, sad, difficult subject. But wishing them all the best and all of the healing in the world to her father, obviously.
Retweet.
So the next sequence was definitely much lighter. Meredith and her daughter Chloe go to lunch with Heather and her daughter Ashley. And all of these women are so gorgeous. Like, so beautiful. Meredith's daughter, Chloe, I think is so chic. She's in her big puffy jacket and she's got her hair in that claw clip and she just looks so cute.
We love chicness.
They're talking a little bit about college, but basically the point of this scene is for Meredith to bring up that she has a house in Vail and that she's going to invite all the usual suspects to Vail with them. AKA the people she's contractually obligated to hang out with for the show.
Yes. I love a cash trip. I was so excited when they started to talk about this. And then we got Heather asking Meredith, hey, so how are you and Jen? Like, what's going on there? And Meredith's response was, basically Meredith doesn't hate her, but she's not leaping to jump into a friendship with Jen, which I think like, is
she doesn't,
a reasonable thing to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't F with her. Like, you know, she's like, I don't mess with you, but like, if you're around, I'm going to be cordial. Like, I'm not going to be, you know, rude to you or like cause problems, which is absolutely the way she should handle it. And that's why Meredith is the queen of class.
She's the queen of class. And also she broke it down very, like, very well in her confessional, where she said, I mean, me and Jen have had a problem for like years, like a year and a half or 2 years. And that just doesn't go away. And me wanting to be her friend just like that after one conversation she had apologizing, you know? And so I'm glad that the rehashing of what Jen said to Brooks is finally over with. But I think it's very reasonable for Meryl still to be like, we're not friends. We can be friendly. And she was like, and Heather asked her, what's the percentage of like us all having a good time together? She was like 45%. And I was like, okay, let's work with it, baby.
Yeah, Heather was like, oh, and Heather also told this hilarious story where she, cause like, Meredith was like, we like to hear about you as a good time gal in college. And Heather was like, I wasn't a good time gal, but I actually went to Cancun as a travel companion with a little person. So she was like, I had no way of seeing the world. And like this, there was a little person who needed a travel companion to help them. So I was there as like their assistant. She said there was a karaoke contest in Cancun that she won, and she won a fifth of vodka, but she didn't even drink.
It's so funny. So funny.
I love Heather. Okay, so now we get just like a little preview clip of the Fresh Wolf event, like all of them arriving at this Fresh Wolf event, and we see everybody getting there, and then we hop back to Heather's house. But like, I just wanted to mention that because we see that, you know, Cameron and India are there, who are going to be important later, and Meredith, Chloe, who's in this huge sparkly dress, and Brooks are all there. But Jen was not invited. So just keep that one in mind as we go back to Heather's house.
It was going
house.
Back and forth from like Heather, Jen, and Whitney till the party, and then kind of jumping back and forth with that.
So, exactly. Yeah. So Jen arrives at Heather's house, and She's in this gigantic, like big fluffy coat, and she's brought over a bunch of sex games that, you know, it's like all these gimmicks, right? When you go over to these other people's house for the show, they're like, oh, we came over to do this, and they give them a little gimmick. But it was really funny. It's all of the games that I've played at like all of the bachelorette parties I've ever been to, is what she brought over. Like the candy underwear, like that's what you get the bride. What the ring toss game that they were playing with the dildos on their head. I've played that. Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, and
put that bride in it.
This is like, wait, what?
You put the bride in the dildo hat and then all the girls throw the,
I thought in like Heather, Whitney, and Jen, this is kind of like the crew to bring those games to. Because I can't
Whitney wasn't there.
Whitney, was she not there?
No, she was there on FaceTime with Heather earlier. They did like a little flashback. It was just Jen and Heather.
Jen and Heather, yeah. But yeah, Heather's the good time girl. So of course you would want to strap a doodle on and get to work.
It was really funny. I loved it. But so Heather brings up Vail to Jen and is like, would you want to go to Vail? And Jen is into it. She's super pumped up.
Yeah.
She's like, hell yeah, this is literally all I've ever wanted. Of course I wanted to go to Vail. But she does bring up, she's like, that's weird that Heather's inviting me instead of Meredith. But like, once I get to Vail, I'll bring it up because Jen knows how the show works and how to be dramatic and on camera.
And
you know,
it's like, let's prolong this thing. And like, but if that was, even though it's Meredith's event and I would like, come invite her. But I'm like, yo, y'all aren't good. Y'all don't text. Y'all don't talk. Like, you're invited. Like, for the show's sake, I'm glad it's going to get brought up and things are going to pop off. But yes, it was
absolutely
I didn't see that big of a notion towards it, but I also, this is Jen Shaw and Real Housewives, so I understood that. But also a key part of this conversation was them talking, Heather letting her know, Jen know about the event that Jen's bestie, Lisa, is putting on at the moment.
Yeah. So Whitney FaceTimed Heather earlier in the day to be like, it's so weird. Lisa invited me to this event tonight. And like, it has to be for some reason, right? Like, so I can't go because I'm sick. But like, it's so weird that she invited me. And Heather's like, yeah. So when she brings it up to Jen, I thought, looked genuinely surprised. And like, she did not know that the event was going on. Especially given that she was literally at the photo shoot for the kids that they were to promote for the event.
Lisa is either Jen's just very oblivious or Lisa, which I can kind of see. Or Lisa's just very methodical.
Yeah. So the reason Jen was super upset that she was not invited to this event is, you know, it's to benefit kids in foster care in Utah. And Jen's aunt adopted two children from foster care. So like Jen actually has a very personal connection to the cause and Lisa absolutely knows that. And I agree with you, Jacob, if this is what you were saying before, like it doesn't matter if it's 30 people, like you need to cap it at the COVID, like Jen should be one of those people.
And especially like you're inviting Whitney and the girl who you've been having her back the most and y'all have had, like we're getting into like the little problems between Jen and Lisa now, but like that's Jen's your homework. You brought her to the photo shoot. Like it's just not, it's just the math isn't mathing. It isn't.
Yeah. It's really super weird.
And I feel like Lisa was very meticulous into who she brought to the event and who was going to speak, when they were going to speak, who was going to speak to who. We can dive more into that once we get to her event. But yeah, Jen was shocked. Jen was pissed, which she had every right to be. And I hope she brings that up to Lisa's ass. Talking about Lisa gets me very
Well, Lisa is going to claim that like her sons made the invite list.
That's so pathetic. That is so that
I know, but that's what she's going to claim. But I completely agree with you, Jacob. Like this is a situation where like, we're promoting this for the TV show. I have a very wealthy friend who has a deep connection to the foster care system, specifically in Utah, who's on the television show. Like, she should be at the event. Like, that's what you tell your kids. Like, I don't care if you like her. Like, she should be here. Like, she has such a personal connection.
Also, her kids made the list. So her and Whitney were just beefing. two episodes ago. And I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to see mommy's frenemy at an event that she was just beefing at.
I mean, her kids are 15 and 9.
But like, I'm saying, on, if you,
like
if
14
really,
and 9.
If we really go, if she really going to stick with that lying ass lie that she came up with, her kids made up the list. Lisa, you're talking to American public. We are smart, hopefully, and we can dissect bullshit. You should be in the studio. I just had to quote a meme, but I don't think you know the meme, so I wasn't going to say. But yeah, Lisa, this is what I'm talking about. And I said this at the beginning. Like, I give her credit because she knows how to position her way into things, into the center of conflict, drama, X, Y, and Z. And last week, I was kind of like, yo, I'm getting tired of them kind of dragging Lisa at every chance. But like, so many times this season, Lisa has... the situation has been there and it has not looked the greatest for her with not inviting in, with having a person come up to Meredith at random and kind of confess, but not really, but confess, but not really, but confess. And then you talk to Meredith and confess, but not really, and confess. Jen, you, Lisa, you know what you're doing. And I'm looking at you right now. You know what you're doing. Stop it.
I see. I'm with you. A lot of times I feel like people pile on Lisa. And even earlier I was like, oh, Lisa's being messy in this way because she wants to shit talk Whitney. And then you pointed out, no, Lisa's being messy in general because she knows this is going to get screen time and make Jen look bad. But like, this was just Lisa being messy, messy. Like the fact that she did not invite Jen, like Jen has every reason to be genuinely hurt about this. Like if I was Jen, I would be genuinely hurt because I would be like, this is actually something I really deeply care about and would want to support you in. Like, I can't believe that you didn't invite. It doesn't matter if there's 30 people invited. I should be one of them. Absolutely. Not the whole cast. I completely understand that. But back to the event. So they're back at the event and Lisa is beaming because her son Jack is giving his speech to everyone. And this really is like Lisa Barlow in her element. Like Jack is talking and she truly is like beaming. Like her whole body is like radiating pride and joy. But her and Meredith then go off, like they sneak off into a corner and they're talking about how Jen, like Lisa's like, Jen got really, really upset when I brought up Redacted, the person who leaked the audio. And Meredith was like, what were you talking about? And she was like, yeah, I brought it up. She got really upset. But I was just pointing out like about Whitney, you know, what happened. Oh, we forgot to talk about this. Sorry. We forgot to talk about this in the earlier scene. Because Jen brought up to Heather what Lisa said about Whitney. And Jen was like, oh, well, Lisa thinks that Whitney might have sent, you know, the guy that we don't, my former employee product. And Heather was like, I don't think Whitney sends out product for free. I have a feeling he bought some of Whitney's product if he's posting about it. But
that is key. We should include that. Yeah, good job,
Mike. Which, like, I do sort of, like, believe that. But Meredith is like, well, if you were bringing up Whitney, like, then she has no reason to be upset. And Lisa's like, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And then this man, Cameron, comes up. Would just like to say, okay, so we're sort of getting into a little bit of tea time here right now. Mm-hmm. But Lisa has been posting all over Twitter since then, just for context, that Cameron is no longer with us. He passed this past year.
Oh,
he passed away.
That. Oh, that's so sad.
Yes. So there, like I said, this is sort of getting into tea time, but I just want us to be conscious of that, like, as we go into this, because I think Lisa's very sensitive to the fact that this man is no longer with us and wants to be respectful of him. So, Cameron comes up and meets Meredith, and Lisa's like, oh, this is how we know Mary is through Cameron, which, you know, hearkening back, Jacob, to at the very beginning of all of our, this whole podcast, we said that they started with Lisa Barlow and went from there. And she was, they were like, who do you know who are women in Salt Lake City who own businesses or are businesswomen who would be good for the show? Mm-hmm. And she gave them Heather's name. She gave them Whitney's name. She gave them Mary's name. So this is clearly the connection to Mary. And that's sort of what she was meaning. Then Lisa has to sort of like get ushered away to do something, and Cameron and Meredith are left alone. And Meredith is like, oh, I love Mary. And Cameron says, yeah, well, you know, Mary and her husband have done some things that have been very harmful to me. And Meredith immediately is so uncomfortable. And she's like, oh God, like I hate hearing this. I love Mary.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I was really close with Mary and like, I was very close with Mary as well. So just be careful. And Meredith is like, be careful of what? Like what happened? And he's like, well, the truth was revealed. So I don't, you know, that's all I can say. And Meredith's like, what truth? And then he's like, good night, and leaves. And it's like very spooky-ooky, I have to say.
Very spooky-ooky. It was shady from the Rudy to the Tootie. It was messy from the Rudy to the Tootie. And this is like, this happens at Lisa's event. It does not help the Lisa's messy train at all. And this moment had to be a scene that Lisa knew was going to happen. And Lisa knew that, like, okay, I'm going to bring them together. So, you know, we can start a new kind of topic. And this is why I said on an earlier part of Mary could, because if Mary and Lisa were truly good, I don't think Lisa would have done this, or she probably would have seen what, you know, she brought to Jen. But and that's what I'm saying. It could have been good on Mary's part, but I don't think she probably vocalized to Lisa, hey, we're good.
Like Lisa, you know, that they were chill. Yeah. So like Lisa probably thought they were still feuding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was like, oh, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to do something mm-hmm. very shady to like kind of soil your name. And this is why I'm just like, Mary probably didn't vocalize, hey, like I want to accept my responsibility in that situation. But yeah, so Cameron came over and said all that stuff, and he said things and didn't say, well, I don't want to be the one to reveal. It'll come out in due time. Just like very novel-esque. And then Meredith then, you know, runs to Lisa and says like, hey, can I talk to you? Like,
yes.
I'm very uneasy right now. And then Lisa basically, in a sense, does the same thing that Cameron just did and being like, well, I know that they have history, and that's why I didn't invite Mary, because I want to be respectful of Mary and Cameron, and they just don't want to be around each other. And also, I do know things. And then Meredith was like, well, tell me what you know. Like, what? Like, mm-hmm. Lisa was like, I don't want to speak for him. I won't let him. Like, it was very, like, they were in cahoots.
She was like, I know. Yeah, she was like, I know he's experienced trauma. I know he's experienced trauma. So I don't want to be the one to say his business out here, Meredith. Like, and it was just really weird. And that's where it got left.
And that's where it got. And I'm like, Lisa, like, you're not helping your case at all with this friend group and what they perceive you as. And you keep denying and playing the victim at any time someone gets on that ass. And I'm hoping they stay on your ass, because you deserve it, because you put yourself in positions for people to get irritated, pissed off, frustrated, annoyed, agitated. And amongst else, they don't like you. And I don't feel bad for your ass. You're making a TV show. Bravo. Mm-hmm. Brava. But at the same time, you're being messy as hell. And if you are actually trying to form genuine relationships with these women, it's not doing you any service. And I hope at the reunion, they get your ass.
Oh, man. But she'll just say that she didn't know that this was going to happen.
I didn't know it was going to happen. Yes, you did. That's so, yes.
I think we need to go into tea time, because there's a lot to unpack here.
There is.
Anything? Okay, so next week we're gonna see that they like meet up and go to some type of like cooking class, and then Jen calls out Lisa, it looks like, for not inviting her to her event. And then it looks like we're gonna catch at the very end of the episode the first little bit of Jen's arrest. So hopefully
I feel like it will be just a car thing. Hopefully we get some helicopters swarming around. Hopefully I wonder if they send a car after Jen when she left. Well, probably not, because they didn't really know what was happening. So they probably like, all right.
Well, I think that she still goes to Vail, doesn't she?
She what?
Isn't that like, who's calling who a fraud? Love you, sweetie. Doesn't that happen in Vail?
I think that happens in Vail. I can never.
So I'm assuming she literally, like, I literally think that she, I mean, this is just a prediction. I could be so wrong, but I literally think that they are all in the car going to Vail. Jen gets arrested in her box braids, then leaves the courthouse, and then 2 days later is in Vail with all the women.
Oh, I completely agree with that. But you know, when she gets off,
like, she gets out of prison and goes to Vail.
Oh, she definitely does. Because did she have the box braids when she was yelling at Meredith?
No.
She didn't?
No.
Then maybe she She took her braids out.
But I think that like for her, it was like I think that she probably went home for a day or two. Got herself together.
She didn't immediately get off jail and then get a sprinter. All right, let's go.
Yeah, then be like, all right, to bail I go. Like, filming, I don't think let's go. That,
we need money, babe. We need money.
Yeah, now I got to pay for some legal fees. But. Yeah,
TBH.
Okay, all right. Tea time?
Clink, clang. I never have. I always drink my water before.
All right. So, I was following along the live tweets of the episode, and Lisa Barlow live tweets every episode.
Oh, she loves
it. And Meredith joined in at the end.
I did see a couple of Meredith's tweets, but I didn't point any out.
At the very end, right before the episode was over, Meredith tweets very unsettling cryptic remarks about what this man said to her, Cameron. Mm-hmm. And Lisa responds on Twitter and said, what was so upsetting? There was nothing at all said that was cryptic. Lisa.
Babe.
Everything was cryptic. Every single thing was cryptic.
They are going to get her ass, Maggie. They are going to get her ass.
Okay, so somebody then replies to her, a fan, and says, it was a little cryptic, like being aware of Mary but not telling Meredith why. And Lisa says, it wasn't. He didn't want to talk about anything at this special event. Neither did I. Cameron was on the board of Utah Foster. He has since passed away, and it's very upsetting for anyone to talk negatively about him. He was doing amazing things for Foster and our community. And then the person says, sorry for your loss. I just get Meredith's side of it too. If someone's hinting, I would be like, what happened? And Lisa says, she asked questions, he answered. He clearly said it's Mary's story to tell.
Then why bring
That's
it up?
Cryptic.
Then
That's
why bring
cryptic,
it up?
Lisa. Like, I understand, like, and you know me, I love Lisa Barlow, baby gorgeous over here, but like, don't try and act like it's not cryptic. Like, I am very sorry for this man's loss, but what we saw tonight, like, there is no other way to describe what he did as anything other than cryptic.
Literally. Like, Lisa, it's a scheme that Lisa set up. Lisa, you set it up. Oh, Maggie, I've never been more frustrated. I've never been as frustrated as I am right now with baby gorgeous. Like, I just didn't like her and I didn't mind her, but then I started to like her and I was giving her praises, tweeted that she was the MVP. And I'm just like,
Lisa Barlow is a fun villain. She's a fun villain.
She's not a fun villain. I do not think she's a fun villain.
I think so.
I think she is a witchy villain. I think she is a, if you're a villain, I want you to own up to being a villain. Like, I don't like how she cowards, like, just like, I didn't do it. Like, you throw stones, hide your hand, and then want to play victim when they come at you. No, stand up and say, yeah, I did that, and throw another one right in their face. I don't get that with Lisa. Mm-hmm. And that's what frustrates me. Like, own up to the bullshit that you do. And if you're going to do it on camera, stand behind it. You know that message. Your ass was cryptic when you was talking to Meredith and saying, it's his story to tell. Your ass was cryptic. So, like, it's just, don't act like we stupid. While we watching, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Lisa Barlow,
get her, Jacob.
You can stay, but you can go. I want you to stay on the show, but you can go. You can go. Mm-hmm. Also, Whitney was on Watch What Happens Live. She didn't really say anything notable, TBH, but something that is very notable is Andy said that they basically was giving like a preview of like what's happening next week. We're going to see the beginning of Gingerist, like we pointed out, but Andy then said the week following that episode, he said this. He said it is the best housewife episode he's seen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited.
The week after next. He said it was the best Real Housewife episode. And then Whitney was like, wait, that's big. And he was like, yeah, that's what we got.
All right. Well, maybe we can try and get Big Boss Man to have his first episode of Real Housewives to be the best episode that Andy Cohen has ever seen. Do you think we can get him in the middle of a Survivor season?
TV.
I make no promises, everybody.
It'll be fun. It'll be very fun. TV. He's off on Mondays. He should be good.
All right, everybody. I think that's all we have for you. Oh,
that's all we have for you.
I did just want to mention here that it is November 1st when we're recording this podcast. It's the perfect time to become a patron of the Big Boss Man that we're talking about, to become a patron of RHAP.
Yeah, when you first said Boss Man, Andy Cohen.
And then I did not mean Andy Cohen. I mean, if we can get Andy Cohen, please, by all means, let's get him on the pod. But I that's not who I was referring to. I was referring to
Rob,
our big boss man, Rob Sestrinino. And there's never a better time than now to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. You get exclusive content. My favorite podcast in the entire network is a patron exclusive, the 5 for 5 that Rob does with his wife, Nicole. You get early access content. There's an amazing online community, a Discord, a Facebook group to talk about everything. And while Survivor season is on right now, it's what supports things like this podcast and all of the wrap-ups. So please, if you haven't been a patron, this is the perfect time to join. And Rob does new patron orientation, so you'll be able to really figure out everything that becoming a patron of RHAP has to offer. So please look into that. Jacob, where can people find you if they're looking for you?
Just come. Wait, what's that song? Come by your name. Come. You know that song?
I have no idea what you're singing.
Come
literally
by your name. And when I need you. It's by The Weeknd. But you can find me at JacobJ_Jones on Twitter, all social media, basically. And yeah, we love to chat. I tweeted about Real Housewives of Potomac saying like they had their season finale and they're about to film the reunion. Nicki Minaj is at the reunion. She's like, guest host.
I saw. Very exciting.
Amazing. Also, The Real Housewives, they have a new franchise, Dubai.
Oh, yes. Dubai. Yes. Real Housewives of Dubai. Andy announced it this morning. I think that'll
GMA
be so interesting.
Something like that. With
Today's show.
Today's show. And so it'll be super fun. But yeah, find me on Twitter at JacobJ_Jones. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at _ML Morgan or on TikTok and Instagram at @ML Morgan_. So yeah. Everybody, thank you. Yes, this was a great episode. I knew it coming in that we were going to have a great time talking about
this.
Very
passionate. So,
absolutely. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. We love you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
By your name. That was so fun.